And now, it's time for the Talk of the Northwest, the 9 to Noon Show with Greg Hughes on Highland Radio.
Hello and a very good morning. It is 5 minutes past nine on this Monday, the 18th of November, and you're very welcome along to another edition of the 9 till Noon Show. In fact, it's another week of the 9 till Noon Show, and we hope we'll keep you informed and entertained over the next 3 hours. We want you involved in the conversation throughout, of course. We've plenty lined up, but maybe something occurred over the weekend or something you want to talk about or an issue you want to raise. The lines are open for you right now. WhatsApps and texts to 086 60 25000. You can give us a call either on 07491 25000. If you want to email the show, it's comments@highlandradio.com, and feel free to email if you're listening to the podcast, which is live on our website at 12:30 each day, or if you're listening overnight, it's always good to hear your views too. And you can watch the show as well. We're streaming on YouTube, Facebook and on the X platform. Right, a little later on, coming up on the show, we'll have John and Paddy back on, entering the penultimate week, I suppose, of the general election campaign. We'll get their views, an overview of what's happening nationally and locally. We want you involved in that as well, so feel free to message in. But first, let's look at the newspapers, and we'll start with the Derry People Donegal News this morning. And up to 80 Ukrainian refugees living in Remelton are facing eviction in the mouth of Christmas, as the Department of Equality and Integration continue to end contracts with smaller accommodation providers throughout the county. The refugees living in Oakwell Holiday Village and the Tanyard premises in Remelton received letters last week asking them to vacate their accommodation by December 11th. The news has been met with uproar from some members of the local community. One local business owner said to move Ukrainian families from their homes before Christmas is inhumane. Just a few months ago, Ukrainian refugees staying in the Mulroy Woods Hotel, Church Road and the Old National Irish Bank premises in Milford also received eviction letters. And of course, it is desperate for these families, but also, of course, it has a knock-on effect as well too, because these people need to find accommodation. And there is limited accommodation, but the Ukrainian families are at a slight advantage, it would seem, in the open rental market, given the fact that people can accommodate them and receive €800 a month tax free, versus the tax implications for renting to non-Ukrainian families. So it is very upsetting for those families being asked to leave that accommodation at such notice and at this time of year. But also, it does have ramifications elsewhere as well. The Derry News this morning: concerns have been raised over the potential closure of Derry's general post office. More than 100 post office branches, including Derry's Custom House branch, could close under a major overhaul announced last week. The post office revealed it is looking to offload around 115 directly owned branches within its 11,500 strong network, which could see them transferred to retail partners or postmasters or potentially closed. And we've seen a lot of that in the Republic as well, haven't we? On to the Nationals and its election coverage everywhere. Fianna Fáil has again attacked its coalition partners' policies, with Deputy Leader Jack Chambers claiming Fine Gael's manifesto threatens new recruitment in healthcare and public sector pay freeze. This is the Independent. Fianna Fáil leader Micheál Martin called for a ceasefire last week after several days of campaigning in which the government parties took swipes at each other on issues such as justice and drug decriminalisation. And it's an interesting one in that there are those who believe that the more logical thing would be them to sort of target Sinn Féin, I suppose, rather than going at each other's necks. But maybe they feel at this point they're kind of competing for the same pool of voters. I don't know. But now two ministers who just last month delivered Budget 2025 together have clashed over funding. Fine Gael launched its election manifesto yesterday. It set out a number of measures, including €1,000 for new babies, which would be put into a savings account in their name. Just hours after the launch, Finance Minister Mr Chambers criticised the Fine Gael manifesto, which he said had been published very late and raised some very serious problems that needed to be explained. You heard referenced in the news, and it is a difficult one for Fine Gael, and it's certainly going to be a difficult one for Simon Harris in tonight's debate. Helen McEntee, this is the Irish Daily Mail, Helen McEntee has said she stands over her party's decision to run Senator John McGahan on the Fine Gael ticket after he was found 65% civilly liable for assault. The Justice Minister made her remarks on RTE Radio 1's This Week following publication of a newspaper interview with the alleged victim, Breen White. Senator McGahan, 33, was found not guilty of assault in a criminal case 2 years ago, but in a High Court action this year, a jury found him 65% civilly liable. Mr. White, 55, who was awarded €39,000 in damages against the Louth candidate, was astonished the party had selected the senator for four separate election campaigns. He furnished photos of his 2018 injuries to the Sunday Times. And if you did see those images, they are pretty shocking. But anyway, bottom line is whether or not this person should be running or not, the fact that it's going to be a topic for tonight's debate is problematic for Fine Gael. On to the Irish Times now, and it could be troubling, this, not just for Ukraine, Russia, but beyond. The White House has given Ukraine permission to fire US-supplied long-range ballistic missiles at targets inside Russia, this for the first time, as Kyiv's forces in the Kursk border region battle Russian units supported by troops sent from North Korea, which is perhaps one of the aggravating factors for the American decision. 10,000 North Korean soldiers are taking part in the conflict, so it's not Russia versus Ukraine. Perhaps some would say it was never Russia versus just Ukraine, but now it's Russia versus Russia and North Korea versus Ukraine and its backers. US President Joe Biden approved Ukraine's use of these missiles, which have a range of about 300 kilometres, 2 months before he leaves office, and after resisting pressure on the issue from Kyiv for much of 24, US media outlets reported. It is problematic, but I'll tell you what is also a problem. Russia has missiles that aren't tactical like the ones that have been used so far. What I'm saying is, and this is not to mitigate the loss of life or what have you, is they have weapons in their arsenal that could flatten Kyiv. And many would say, well, I haven't used them yet, because that's just not really the rules of war, is it, at this time? But they have very significant weapons, and I wouldn't be surprised if they opted to use them now inside of Ukraine. Terrible situation ongoing over there, still making the headlines, still leading the news. But every single day, more and more women and children are wiped off the face of the planet in Gaza. And for some reason, it's not in the news any longer. Certainly not to the same extent that the Russia-Ukraine conflict is. But on it goes. Pope Francis has intervened, I suppose, verbally. Pope Francis has called for an investigation to determine if Israel's attacks in Gaza constitute genocide, according to excerpts released from an upcoming new book ahead of the Pontiff's Jubilee year. It's the first time Francis has openly urged for an investigation of genocide allegations over Israel's actions. In September, he says Israel's attacks in Gaza and Lebanon have been immoral and disproportionate, and that its military has gone beyond the rules of war. The book by Herman Reyes Alcaide, and based on interviews with the Pope, will be released tomorrow. But as I say, every day there are more bombs dropping. 10 people killed here, 20 people there, 50 elsewhere, and it's just not making the headlines any longer. We'll go to The Sun now, and Gardaí are probing if child benefit was paid for Kieran Dernan, even though he hadn't been seen alive for 2 years. Gardaí want to know if payments were made and collected for the murdered child. He would be eight. I'm not sure he ever reached eight, sadly. He would have been six 2 years ago. The eight-year-old was last seen at a Dundalk primary school at the end of May in 2022. A Garda source said, "We're in contact with the Department of Social Protection to find out if child benefit was paid for Kieran, and if so, how much," which is an interesting angle for them to investigate. All right, something completely different, of course. We'll go to the world of sport. And 60 million people, it was actually 50 million people, watched Katie Taylor in action at the weekend. And she won. She's still the unified champion. 60 million watched the joke of a fight between Mike Tyson and Jake Paul. But anyway, she received the biggest payday of her career. And I mean, I was going to say cemented her legacy, but her legacy is there for all to see. But we read on here in the Irish Daily Mirror, Katie Taylor will return home to reflect on her latest incredible success, but she does have a tough question to address very soon. What next? Now, I think the majority of people out there would like to see her retire now as an undefeated champion with a amazing professional and amateur boxing record and her name in the history books forever as being the leading light, really, in bringing women's boxing to where it is now. Some people still don't like it, but still, it is a massive sport at the moment. So she won the fight. I believe she won the fight. Very surprised that so many people believe that she didn't. But anyway, I believe that she won the fight and she's the unified champion. And what's next? There's talk of her fighting Serrano for a third time over 12 rounds, 12 three-minute rounds, which I don't think would be very favourable to Katie at her age. But anyway, what next? The 38-year-old did everything she said she would do to beat Amanda Serrano for a second time in front of a sea of Stetson hats on Friday night at AT&T Stadium in Arlington, Texas. But it wasn't just grit, heart and toughness that got Taylor the win and helped save the pathetic main event of Jake Paul lumbering to victory over Mike Tyson. She showed her boxing brilliance once again to deliver a pulsating performance that cemented her place as a true great in front of 72,000 spectators. Now, she believes that she still has a couple of fights left in her. But who? Where? Why? What do you think? 086 60 25,000. That is the number to comment on that matter or anything else that you heard in that run through the newspapers or anything else, in fact, that you want to talk about. And as you would know, we've covered it on this show, but sure, it's a lived reality for people out there. There's been a whole host of driving tests cancelled at short notice. I think there was 27 at least last week. We do know also we only have four testers in the whole of the county, and they have to cover three centres, three based in Letterkenny, one in Donegal Town, and Buncrana is covered by the three and one in the rest of the county. And we're a big sprawling county with thousands of people waiting for their tests. And it seems that if someone's unavailable for work for whatever reason, we're not necessarily blaming testers, there's no cover. And it has a huge impact on people. And we're going to learn how that can be the case. Sean Boyle from Anagri joins us now. Good morning, Sean.
Good morning, how are you?
I'm all right, Sean. Right, so you have... How long have you been waiting for your test?
So I did all my lessons. I started driving, doing lessons in January and was only able to get my test booked at the NMA. And then I only got the invitation to book it, like... 3 weeks ago.
Right, so June, July, August, September, October, and it was in October then. You didn't actually do too bad compared to some. You still had to wait 4.5 months, which is way too long. But you got your invite to apply for a test, and you got a date then in November.
Yeah, so I got the date. That was fine. Doing all my lessons, like I spent a lot of money then on the lessons just weeks beforehand. Booked my driving instructor then the morning before the test. And then I got the text from the RSA then just the night beforehand that they cancelled on me.
And what does that text say? Does it say we'll reschedule as soon as we can? Does it give you any information or does it just say the test is cancelled?
It told me the test was cancelled and that they'll put me in on the waiting list again. It didn't really tell me exactly how long I'll be waiting, if I'll be waiting a few weeks, few months again. And it's just kind of really annoying me at this point.
Yeah, of course it is, because you just don't know. How important is it to for you to get on the road, Sean? Obviously for independence, and everyone wants to do it, but also, obviously, given where we live, there's practical reasons for needing access to a car to be able to drive without relying on others.
Of course, yeah. I'm a bartender in a hotel in Dunloe, so whenever I'll be working late shifts, I can't always be relying on my family members to give me lifts at like 2 o'clock in the morning, 1 o'clock in the morning. So it's things like that where whenever you're meant to be working, you can't just rely on everyone else whenever you're meant to have a license.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. So how long is it? It could be 6 to 8 weeks now. So you could be well into January before you even get an opportunity now to sit your test.
Yeah, exactly. It's like one of those things. As well, like it's bad on the driving tester. Like I booked two slots before my test, which is eaten into his time. Mm-hmm. And then I cancelled, obviously, the night before. So he really can't make the money there now.
Yeah.
Because he's in a situation where no one's going to be able to fill that slot at such short notice.
And the problem we're having, Sean, is getting answers to the obvious questions that you have had. You know, like, in other words, why is this happening? When am I going to get a new test? Could the next test,
exactly,
once it's booked, could that be cancelled as well? Are you going to spend, you know, and hopefully you'd pass first time, Sean, I don't see why you wouldn't.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, like, you know, you've got to build yourself up to that again. You know, like, it's just really, really unfair.
Oh, of course. Like, the fact is they even didn't give a proper answer. They just said due to unforeseen circumstances. Mm. Like, I know a friend as well. She last week got her test cancelled due to the same reason, and still doesn't have any answers either. Like, it's,
yeah,
I don't know how many people this has happened to. It's,
are you more likely, you're in Letterkenny, you've booked yours for Letterkenny, of course.
Yeah.
Right, okay. So you had to arrange to get over to Letterkenny from Annagree as well, and had to cancel that lift, I presume.
Yeah, of course. Like, it's one of those things as well. Like, I ask a family member to give me a lift at a certain time. They have to, if they're working, have to book time off to work. And it's just kind of just a chain reaction of different kind of inconveniences with everyone.
Yeah. All right, Sean. Listen, thanks for helping us understand the terrible inconvenience and disappointment as well. We appreciate it. We're trying to get some clarity. What cover can be put in place, should be put in place. It's very hard, you know. It's very hard to get any information in this area, which is crazy, from the RSA. But we're going to continue to see if we can get some resolution to this. Sean, thanks for your time this morning.
Thank you very much. Right. Nice talking to you.
Bye-bye. Take care. Hi, Greg. Your friend in the White House, Joe Biden, he's no friend of mine, is letting long-range missiles to be fired into Russia. You support Kamala. We have receipts. Trump is talking peace. You won't say this on your show. Well, why wouldn't I say it on your show? I've said quite clearly throughout the whole election, and anyone who listens and would have heard me say, like, I didn't know which is best. And I actually even said at the time, you know, I'm not terribly interested in the internal politics of the United States. It doesn't really bother me. This is exactly what I said. But I didn't know if if Donald Trump is good for world peace or Irish jobs. Sorry to be a wee bit parochial on that. Or if Kamala Harris was good for world peace or Irish jobs. Simply didn't know. So that was quite literally what I said in relation to that. And I'm none the wiser still. And if I don't know something, I'm more than happy to put my hands up and say that. Hi, Greg. I would really love to hear a debate concerning political promises politicians make during canvassing, yet they're not held to account when elected, when not delivered or implemented. Why are we accepting a political system that allows many empty promises just to get elected? Consumers would not accept goods or services that do not perform as expected or promised. So why are we tolerating this behaviour from politicians? In terms of our hospital in Letterkenny, we really need to get behind the GPs and consultants who are pushing the politicians to focus on improving the hospital. They need to be held to account to deal with the needs of the hospital. I'd love to hear this topic on your show. It's a perennial conversation, isn't it? Undelivered promises. Anyone who wants to discuss that or have a say in it, you're more than welcome to get in touch with us. Don't worry about that. Right, Porrig Curley is ASDI Vice President and a Donegal school teacher. He's with me now. Good morning, Porrig.
Hello, Greg. How are you doing?
I'm doing all right. Thanks for joining us. Right, local members of the ASDI and TUI, they're joining nationwide lunchtime protests outside schools next Tuesday. Is that tomorrow or next Tuesday?
That's tomorrow, Greg.
Tomorrow, okay. Yeah.
Teachers are having a protest outside the school tomorrow at lunchtime, during their lunchtime.
Right, what's it about?
Okay, so the first thing is that there's Leaving Cert reform, and the protest is to get media coverage like what you're doing now. We want to highlight to parents and to the public at large the serious changes that are coming down the road for the Leaving Cert, and it's happening at a very, very quick rate. So, for example, new courses for the three sciences, biology, physics and chemistry and business studies, will be starting in September of next year. And they'll be assessed for the first time in 2027. So it's happening very, very fast. And just to tell your listeners, the main changes is that what the Department of Education through the NCCA and the Minister wants is one written paper worth 60%, and then a project worth 40%, and that is in absolutely every subject. So it's important for me to say that the teachers' unions, the ASTI particularly, and the TUI, we are absolutely not opposed to leave and cert reform or redevelopment, quite the opposite. But what we really want to do is to make sure we get it right.
Yeah. Now, I know there are concerns.
This new course will be going for another 20 years, yeah. So it needs to be right.
Of course. Now, I know you have concerns as it relates to pressures on students. We'll get to that in a moment. But in terms of the implementation in schools and what it means for teachers, are there concerns there?
Oh, there's huge concerns. This is the main thrust of the reason. We're calling on it to be postponed, to be delayed, because it's clearly not ready. So, for example, if you look at the sciences, biology, for example, which is a huge subject with an awful lot of students picking that subject, we're going to have things like laboratory experiments and tests for this 40%, which is a lot of marks for a project. Yet, we can see that the resources are not anywhere near in place for it. Some schools, and it's an equality issue, because some schools will have good facilities, maybe two labs, plenty of resources, whereas other schools, unfortunately, as we well know, haven't near those resources. They haven't the labs. The students won't be able to get into them. And they're going to be disadvantaged, clearly disadvantaged. They're, even besides the resources issue, and it even comes down to even computer access. Mm. I mean, all of these projects now, and this is the student welfare angle, if I know what I'm teaching for 30 years the practical subjects, so I've always taught projects, you know, construction studies and the new drawn project, that's 40%, and construction is 50%. So there's no problem with having projects, but it's simply having every single subject with the project now is going to put a huge amount of pressure on students. The competition is going to be fierce, and basically you're going to be pitting one school off the other in terms of resources, or even, you know, obviously I haven't even mentioned the elephant in the room, AI, how this is going to affect all of these project components and stuff. I mean, you'd think that Ireland would know it, considering that we have the headquarters for Google and all of that stuff there. So there's a huge, huge concern in terms of equity of resources, that one school will have a lot of resources, whereas another school, I'm not going to name any names, but I've been many years going around with football teams from schools, and you visit different schools. Straight away you go, wow, this is a really new, modern school, and other schools less so. You think, oh, we're waiting on something for 20 years.
And obviously you don't want to name schools, neither do I, but
no.
When are we talking about sort of within Donegal as well, that there are schools have clear advantages over other schools?
Clear advantages.
Do you think there's a lack of knowledge about these changes amongst parents and guardians?
That's exactly how we feel. And not only, some teachers are working hard in the classroom, and I don't even, at times we're trying to say, look, there's going to be a sea change coming down the road very soon in your subject. So a maths teacher, I know Project Maths came in and it was revised several times, but you're going to have a project worth 40%. You know, every teacher, and as a practical teacher, I know what that means for students. It means lots of work, lots of effort, lots of stress. I was in the lucky position that when I was, for the last 30 years, doing construction projects and drawing projects, that the students didn't have projects in every other subject. So I would take them for extra time doing these projects. That's now not going to happen, because you're going to be absolutely flat out with projects all the time, every student. And, I mean, it's not the students aren't going to get a break from what I see. They're going to, because the timetable then will be so congested, some of these projects are going to be happening in fifth year. I mean, it's already controversial about English, for example, that they're going to downgrade Leave and Cert English from two papers to just one, and they're going to have the project in fifth year. And, you know, I mean, it sounds great at the start of it, Greg, that oh, well, that's brilliant, only having one paper instead of two, less pressure. But if you get a question wrong or don't do a good job on your one paper, your chances of getting a worse marker are hugely increased.
Plus the fact, obviously,
you had the safety of two papers.
Yeah, but obviously also, too, if they do go ahead with the paper in fifth year, you're not building up towards sixth year. I mean, that the work on that paper obviously has to be accelerated in a shorter period of time.
What knowledge are you testing? Exactly. What knowledge are you testing if it's coming there?
Yeah, your members say...
It's not being thought out.
Yeah, your members say sufficient resources need to be provided, and it needs to be ensured that there'll be a level playing field across all schools and centres. In reality, though, even with the deferral of this, can that actually be achieved, or is it actually the structure the structure that's being proposed is the elephant in the room here, rather than resources and trying to bring all schools up to standard? That would take a generation.
Well, the structure is basically the NCCA is the vehicle and the Department of Education. And they can change curricula. And teachers, you know, have to go along. They, that's their job. They do that with contract. What we're trying to do here is we're trying to get the teacher voice and the student voice to a certain extent, although there is an ISSU, which we're liaising with, and parent voice. But the consultation process, Greg, has left an awful lot to be desired. That's another thing that we're very unhappy with. The consultation seemed to be a token effort, and the subject development groups that you know started writing these new subjects, they weren't even shown the consultation material in appropriate time. I know that happened for the sciences. We had a motion which the department agreed with, that there would be sample exam papers and we would know what the assessment was 1 year before a new subject would start. But of course, no, we have no idea what. We have no sample papers from the state examinations commissions. We have no marking schemes. We're getting, I'm hearing reports of teacher training coming in, where the people coming in training for the new Leaving Cert have no idea themselves what the assessment procedures or the marking schemes or anything.
I mean, obviously, this is lunchtime demonstrations tomorrow outside schools and other like centres where these exams take place. Is this the beginning of it, right? So this is not going to be disruptive. This is teachers deciding to use their lunchtime this way. But how do the ASDI progress their concerns if they're not heeded?
Well, what we do is we take steps at a time. Now, it's a joint campaign. It's the ASDI and the TUI. So both teacher unions, and it's important to point out to your listeners, this is a protest. This will not affect students' education in any way. Our members are going out during their own lunch break. The classes go on as normal. The supervision of students at lunchtime is happening for other members. If they're on for that, they must do that. So there will be absolutely no disruption to student learning. That's not the focus. Our focus here is we want to try and get the public to examine this. This is going to happen. If you're putting your child into your car from a creche, this will affect your child. The years go quick. Most Leaving Cert cycles last about 20 years. And certainly if you have someone in primary school now, this is going to be coming down the road for you. It was put under the guise of student well-being from COVID times, and that the Leaving Cert was a high-stakes exam, which it still is, and that this was a way of alleviating student stress. But the way it's put now, it's actually going to increase student stress enormously. And the other thing, too, that is slightly worrying about it is other countries, if they will recognise the Leaving Cert. Canada, for instance, now are starting to say that this assessment method isn't going to be recognised.
Okay.
So the Leaving Cert enjoyed recognition in other countries abroad. There's a danger it won't be.
All right.
With these, because it's not educationally viable. So I'd ask the public to support teachers. We're doing this completely and utterly for the sake of the students and for education standards in Ireland.
All right, Páraig, listen, thanks very much for your time. I do appreciate it. That's Páraig Curley there, ASDI Vice President and Donegal School Teacher. Local members of the ASDI and TUI will join a nationwide lunchtime protest outside schools and centres that provide the Leaving Cert next Tuesday. That's tomorrow, sorry. This is a script from last week, which would have left tomorrow next, if you get where I'm coming from. So it's tomorrow lunchtime. And I think that's another story which kind of underlines how little parents potentially know what's going on in schools in terms of not just what is taught or how it's taught or how it's going to be taught and the potential implications for students. Okay, now, a couple of comments coming in. Well, loads of comments coming in. Just time for a couple here. Hi, Greg. The world had more peace under Trump from 2016 to 2020 until Biden took over, is one person's view. Hi, Greg. I was disappointed in chants in Ireland versus England game. Not only did England boo Ireland's national anthem, there were also chants of F the IRA. It's disgusting that we're back here and hope it gets looked into. Well, FIFA can look into it, of course. It is part of football, unfortunately. But I think the Irish maybe out-booed them by singing the national anthem. So maybe there's a small victory there. I don't know. Baloom Doob joins me on the programme now. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Greg. How are you?
Great, great, great. Now, Baloom's a community worker within the intercultural platform, and all Donegal candidates in the upcoming general election are being called upon for the commitment to run campaigns that do not incite hatred or prejudice against minority communities. How do you feel they're doing so far?
Well, they could do better. We are inviting them to come and sign up to this very important election protocol. I believe that there is no need for people to be incited. The politics of hate belongs to the past. People should, campaign based on practical things that they want to do for their communities, rather than to divide people.
How do you judge, though, what goes too far? Because the reality is it's not just in this country, it's in many, many countries across the world now. The conversation of immigration is a vote-getter. You know, it's a big topic, it would seem. So, you know, what are the parameters for discussions in that area that don't go too far, if that makes sense, Baloume?
Well, you see, what we are calling for really is not for people not to talk about immigration. There's a huge difference between immigration and inciting people to hate each other or to create prejudice, you see. So we are saying that there should be no reason why a campaign should be centered around race or religious belief or, you know, that people are members of a traveler group or they belong to this group or that. I mean, the issue of migration itself, there's nothing wrong with talking about that. But if it's divisive, then you realize that people have actually gone too far. This is what we are saying, that people, you know, the political groups must sign up to this to show that they are really committed to this idea of, of not dividing people. You know, they're staying away from the politics of hate.
Baloume, has this anti-racism election protocol, so you're inviting politicians to come in and sign it, or what's happening? Because we don't have an awful lot long way to go here. It's Friday week, effectively. So how are you progressing this initiative?
We launched this anti-racism election protocol last week on Tuesday. So in terms of the number of people, if you have come in, you know, and in the past, Fine Gael, Sinn Féin, Fianna Fáil, Labour, and so on, have signed up to this election protocol. And we believe that, most parties are actually, in line and believe that they believe in the value of the anti-racism election protocol. All we are saying is that they should reaffirm this commitment again and show that they actually still committed to this idea of a non-racial kind of election.
Yes, so the conversation is not based on someone's ethnicity or their religion. Obviously, you've mentioned lots of parties there. There's 20 candidates. Many of them are independent or from smaller parties as well. Everyone equally invited to sign up to this protocol.
Oh yes. Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. Everybody is invited. All we're saying is that we need to make a really loud and an overwhelming a shout about the importance of, you know, focusing on real issues. While migration might be a part of it, it's not the only thing. I mean, the government has to focus on issues like healthcare, building more hospitals, ensuring that there are enough nurses, enough doctors. That has got nothing to do with race. That has got nothing to do with belonging to a traveler group or belonging to a certain religious group. And this is exactly what we're saying. Let's focus on the real issues at hand and stay away from, you know, this politics of hatred and inciting people to hate each other. We've seen the results of that, you know, arson attacks, destruction of buildings and so on and so forth. That's what we're saying, that once people, you know, sort of sign up to this, then they are committed to actually talking about the issues at hand. And it's not always about race. It's not always about religion. It's not always about membership to a traveler group or some such thing.
Okay. Right, we'll get an update, hopefully, closer to the election to see what level of sign-up there's been. But for now, Balumi Dubi, thank you so much for your time. I do appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having us.
Okay, great. Take
Enjoy
care
the rest
yourself.
Of the day.
You too, Balumi. Thank you so very much indeed. 08660 25000. A caller says, what about the proposed farmland tax? No one's talking about that. But in terms of what we talk about in the programme, obviously we're very much listener-driven as well. We do try and pick up topics, but there's so many out there. We have talked about the proposed farmland tax in the past, but more than happy to talk about it again. We were talking about four-day weeks last week. 4 days is the same hours in Donegal. Surely it makes sense on fuel costs, all right? If people would be happy to do 5 days, hours in 4 days. The USC tax change was introduced in 2008 as a temporary measure. Why are we workers still paying it? It is a big election topic. I know it's frustrating, but is that person in the car, their job, any more important than the tractor drivers? This is off the back of someone who was very frustrated being behind a tractor on Friday. Also, obviously, polls are coming out thick and fast. Greg Hughes, are polls that you talked about on the programme regarding the percentages of the different parties running for government actually true, or are they just made up so that people will think that the same Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael are getting the backing of most of the Irish people? I mean, it's a blunt instrument, okay, because they contact 1,200 people around the country. You could sort of say, oh, well, they're useless, but at the same time, if you slip back in them, you do take notice of them. So the only poll that matters is, obviously, Friday the 29th, but do parties take note of them or ignore them? No, I don't think they do. And they do seem to reflect a general feeling in a country, but not necessarily in your friends group or your community. Simon Harris says, a listener doesn't have a very good relationship with the Women of Ireland when it comes to health. They had to fight through the courts to get answers for themselves when they needed answers. Why is nobody reporting on the Irishman in Budapest that killed a woman and put her in a suitcase? Or is it the case that he just has an Irish passport and that's why nobody wants to mention it? We mentioned it a couple of times on this programme. Obviously, we cover primarily local and regional issues, but it was mentioned on this show as well. I think sometimes when a criminal case is progressing the way that has, right, and there's an admission of guilt as there was in that case, it kind of falls away quite quickly in terms of the news cycle, for good or bad. A caller says, I can't believe you suggested on Friday that 4 years is not long enough to prove that the current coalition is totally unwilling to fix this country. How blind are we when we cannot see they're only looking after their wealthy mates? What I was saying was, is some of the big problems, i.e. housing and health, they're argued in four-year cycles, that these are long-term problems and need to be looked at. I'd love to see a coalition, all parties working together, regardless of actually who is in power, on matters such as health and housing, squabbling over it. We'll do this, we'll do that, we'll do the other. These are such critical things to the state. I don't think really they can be argued every 4 years. That's the point I was making. And maybe if they all had responsibility, there'd be less infighting and more progress in getting them resolved. We also referenced some positives in the country on Friday, which some took issue with. If it's such a great country, why do we dread going to the ED? Why are houses falling around us, to name but a few? This has all been overseen by the current government parties over numerous governments. And if people vote them in again, they'll be endorsing their huge failures. And don't be coming back afterwards complaining. Time to give someone else a chance, they say. Greg, the new incoming government could save a good few euro if they took a look at Donegal County Council. I've been on the road nearly every day the past while, and the ongoing roadworks. There's always groups of men working there. I read that one last week, actually, saying they're not working as hard as they might be. But anyway, I kind of mitigated that. Right, I did read those last week. I'll get to more of your comments and more interviews, of course, after we take a short break. Stay where you are. We'll come back with the weather. Great to hear that things are moving forward for the new school in Milford, if they are. But anyway, the caller goes on to say, part of me feels very, very sad for Scoliseagon in my own town of Buncrana, who were to get a new school 12 or 13 years ago or more, and it never materialised. And I feel our councillors are not fighting hard enough for it, just my view. Greg, it should not be called alternative medicine. This is in relation to proposals we had from one election candidate for acupuncture to be, as an example, to be employed more in acute hospitals. So this is a reaction to that statement. Greg, it should not be called alternative medicine or treatments. What it is actually, original treatment. Most original medicine are based on herbs, etc. It's not used so much now. It's because it can't be patented. Sadly, most doctors treat the symptoms, not the root cause of any condition. Just ask a doctor how long they spend on nutrition, and ultimately it's the root cause of most problems, says a listener there. We were talking too about changes to the roads infrastructure in Letterkenny. A caller says, a big loss of parking, especially at the bottom of Convent Road, as a result of these proposed changes. The perennial, the always issue that's always there is cyclists not using cycle lanes, instead using roads that run alongside cycle lanes. This caller says, why are cyclists not being fined for not using the cycle lanes? Because they're not obliged to, you see. They're not obliged to use them. So that would take a change in law. A caller says, making cycle lanes in Letterkenny is a waste of time and money, as cyclists use the footpath anyway and go against the flow of traffic. We need to focus on controlling traffic, not cycle lanes. There's a part of the Remelton Road past the Mount Errigal Hotel that it's proposed will narrow to two lanes, this to facilitate two cycle lanes. Obviously, anyone who uses that road knows that it is quite congested, as is. And we heard from Councillor Kieran Brogan, who's concerned that narrowing it to two lanes in front of that hotel will cause even more problems. I wonder how many of these tests were cancelled due to Joe Soap not turning up on the day. They might not have turned up, as they don't feel that they were ready for their test. I actually read that one last week. We know why they're being cancelled on this occasion. Maybe that does happen, but who's to say? The same thing happens in the 60s and 70s. We had long wait times for driving tests. There was a shortage of testers and people were given out licences. That's right, the licence amnesty, wasn't it? Many people were given licences for buses and lorries, and they ticked as applicable. The same thing could happen again, as we just want to get people out on the road. We could give out licences without a test. We do need to get more testers, as many as it takes. We need to give testers more money and they'll soon come. I can't imagine a situation in this day and age where we'd ever have a licence amnesty again. I just think we're far more, I was going to say advanced, than we were then. The disability allowance should not be means tested, says the listener. If people get a settlement after an accident, every benefit is taken from them, including the bus pass, TV allowance, fuel allowance and disability allowance. So the disabled person has to manage to live on that money for the rest of their lives, even though it is so expensive having a disability. And last one here. Before the news, I wish to highlight a terrible situation unfolding for our Ukrainian friends in Remelton. They're staying in an apartment building, about six families, I believe, and have been given 30 days to vacate the apartments. They now must either find alternative accommodation in Remelton or be at the mercy of the government and sent to wherever they feel fit. They have integrated in our community. The children attend our schools and are part of our football club. Many of the parents are working, and one family has set up a business. It's a sad situation when the government agencies can play games with people's lives in the mouth of Christmas. One local there expressing their concerns for their the new members of their community.